Hello, good morning. My name is Annette, and today I'm going to share with you about the devotion today. If you need the devotion book, I think there are some at the back. So let me read the passage. Thursday, 28th of February, the glorious presence of God. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, where he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighted down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered this cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one any of these things that they have seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just as a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It molds him and will scarcely leave him. "I beg your disciples to cast it out," but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. While everyone was amazed at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands." But they did not understand the saying. Its meaning was concealed from them, so that they could not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about the saying. And now I'll read the devotion written by Jesus de los Santos, an associate pastor of the Methodist International Church, Hong Kong. In this Bible passage, Jesus took Peter, James, and John for a special revelation of his glory. These three disciples comprised the inner circle of the 12. Jesus took them with him and went onto the mountain to pray. It's called the Mountain of Transfiguration. When I visited Jerusalem, I learned that this mountain is traditionally considered to be Mount Tabor. It is located in Galilee at the eastern end of the Jezreel Valley. My colleagues and I went up the mountain top by car, and when we reached the peak, I was amazed. It was so high and a truly magnificent place. You can see the beautiful surroundings. How wonderful it would be to stay on the mountain top and bask in Christ's glory. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face transfigured, his clothing became dazzling white. Jesus Christ allowed his glory to radiate through his whole being, and the mountaintop became a holy of holies. As we meditate on this event, let us keep in mind that Jesus has shared this glory with us as his followers, and he promised a glorious home forever. Discipleship is not built on spectacular visions, but on the inspired and unchanging word of God. The important thing is not only seeing wonderful sights, but hearing God's word. "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." In other words, we must follow and obey him. The dazzling white light on the mountain of transfiguration now shines in our hearts as we encounter Jesus Christ through the word. You and I haven't seen Peter, John, James, and John saw, but our experience came by faith, not by sight. When we surround our lives to God, he will transfigure our minds. He will purify our hearts. He will renew our whole being. As we yield to the Spirit of God, he changes us from glory to glory. And so, the reading today could be seen as three separate passages. And there's so much to say about every single one of them. And so today I'm just going to focus on the first passage, which is the transfiguration. And so when I first read this passage, I had so many questions, like, what were Jesus and Moses and Elijah talking about? Did he really had to talk to them, or was he just doing it and showing the disciples? And and what is he trying to teach the disciples through this event? And even why did he only bring these three disciples? And I don't think I have answers to all these questions, but today I just have some simple observations that I want to share with you all. And so let's just think about this for a second. Jesus brought Peter, John, and James to the mountain to pray, and the three disciples fell asleep. And when they woke up, they saw Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah. And so I was thinking about this. I was thinking in the perspective of the three disciples. I mean, they grew up in the Jewish culture, and they must have heard about all these miraculous deeds of Moses and Elijah when they were growing up. And it must be crazy for them to see them come and talk face to face to Jesus, whom they have followed, whom they've been following at this point. And so I think for us, to put it in perspective, it would be kind of like if we meet our childhood heroes. And so imagine yourself meeting the childhood hero that you always adore when you were growing up. And so it could be like, you were walking on the street with a friend, and all of a sudden you turn around and you saw your friend talking to Indiana Jones, Abraham Lincoln, or even Maximus. I asked some people who their childhood heroes are, and I got some really interesting answers, like Dumbledore and Ninja Turtles. And so, anyways, you know what I mean. But I just want to say that it is understandable that Peter would be so overwhelmed by this sight that he was just excited and say whatever was on his mind. And so what he said was on verse 33, "Master, it is good for us to be there. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And so on the version written on this book, it actually used the word dwelling instead of tabernacles. So as I was meditating on this, I was looking up the idea of a tabernacle and how it fits in to kind of in the Jewish culture and what the undertones were. And so I found out that the word tabernacle meant tent or a dwelling place. And the idea came from when God in Exodus gave Moses the instruction to build this tabernacle for God. While Moses was leading the Israelites in the wilderness, and so God gave all the specifications that, and Moses and his people follow everything to the T. And then at the end result in Exodus 40, where God kind of, when Moses erected the tabernacle, God's glorious cloud came and dwelt on the tabernacle, and then it was like bam, and God's glory just filled the whole tabernacle, and God's presence was with the people as they were on this journey. So I was thinking maybe the natural instinct of Peter when he saw this glorious sight was to build a tabernacle and try to do whatever he can so that this glory of God that he saw would be dwelling in his presence and the presence of his companions. And so but then I think what he didn't understand at that time is that since Jesus came, things are changed. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, describing Jesus. So the word dwelling here, it's actually the same meaning as tabernacle in the Old Testament. And so, so what Peter was trying to go for and looking for actually was fulfilled with Jesus being there with them and God's presence being with Jesus. And so Jesus himself was the fulfillment of the Old Testament idea of a tabernacle. But even to take it a step further, since Jesus came and died on the cross for us, now he gave us the Holy Spirit after he left. And Paul said that in 1 Corinthians that we are a temple of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So taking it even a step further, we are actually the tabernacle that's hosting God's presence nowadays. And so when I was looking at the passage and what Peter said, the word 3 also popped out to me, because Peter said that it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not realizing what he was saying. And so it got me into thinking, did Peter really understand who Jesus was? And I think he does at that point, because previously in the earlier parts of Luke 9, it actually said that Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said that John the Baptist, and others says Elijah, but others, one of the prophets that has risen again. And then Jesus again said to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And Matthew's, in the book of Matthew, it actually recorded that he said, you're the Messiah, Son of God. And it seems like Peter knows the right answer, that Jesus is not just John the Baptist or Elijah or some prophet, but he is the Son of God. But then what the fact that he said, make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, it makes me seems like that he has either elevated Jesus, Moses and Elijah to the same level as Jesus, or he has lowered Jesus to be just a holy, powerful servant of God. And I wonder how often in our life when we have elevated our own heroes to places where only Jesus should be. They could be our role models, the big-name Christians, our church leaders, even our friends or our spouses, or someone that God have used in powerful ways to show us more about himself and his presence. But then I think what I got out of this is that we need to be aware that Jesus alone should take that special place in our hearts and not Jesus and somebody else. And so personally, I've gone through a period where I had a really hard time understanding God's tangible love and protection. And during this time, God used someone who used to be a former church leader in the church to minister to me. And then there would be times where I felt like when he talks to me and when I saw him, I saw Jesus. And then I thought to myself that that's exactly what Jesus would be saying or doing in these situations. So I praise God for this brother, but then at that time in my sinful nature, I also somehow misplaced my gratitude and my love towards God to this person instead. And then I really had to, it took me a long time to repent and had to cut that off. And so I think it's no coincidence that after Peter's statement, that God in his majestic glory showed up with a cloud, which we would call a Shekinah glory. And then he told the disciples who Jesus really is, which is the Son of God. He said that, this is my Son, my beloved, the exact phrase that he used when Jesus was baptized and the heaven opens and the Holy Spirit descended on him. And so, but this time with a direct instruction to the disciples, listen to him, him referring to Jesus. I think that it is important that we need to listen to Jesus alone and follow him alone. It doesn't mean that we don't need to listen to anyone else and anybody's advice, but ultimately, Jesus' opinions is the only thing that matters. And so I bet after hearing this voice, Peter, John, and James really, 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 really know that Jesus is the Son of God, and no one can compare to that. And so if we can close our eyes today, and Janella will lead us into worship, I just want us to think about whether we have sometimes misplaced other people into the position that only Jesus should be. And if we do, then it's okay. We just repent and God will forgive us. But today, let's just really ask to see God's face at this place. Ask for him to show us more of his glory. Isaiah 42:8, it says that, I am the Lord, this is my name. I will not give my glory to others or praise to idols. So let us just, whatever we do today, just let us give the glory that is due to Jesus alone and not anyone else. And let's also pray for the writer and the ministry of this devotion today. His name is Jesus de los Santos of Methodist International Church Hong Kong. And let's just bless his ministry and his church. Let's go into the prayer request for today. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's just pray that as they fight this battle, that God's presence would stay with them, and that they would have the faith and have the strength to fight spiritually and physically as well. Also pray for those who are going through chemotherapy and those who are in need of a transplant. Pray for those who are sick but also need that word of salvation in their lives. Let's pray that God would use someone to speak into their lives. Also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's just pray that God would relieve them of any pain, any discomfort, and God's healing hand would reach down and touch them. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God would be the provider during this time, and that He would reveal more of Himself to them as they seek Him. Thank you. focus of the day. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for God's workers who are there to really stand strong during this time, and for God to give them visions and goals to lead them every step of their way. Let's just also pray for South Korea. Let's pray for our possible future church plant there, and also for Japan, for Pastor Mitsunobu. Ministries, let's pray for IP, DeWall, and Cascade. Pray for Matt and Larry and Rachel as they lead these groups. Ministries. Let's pray for the welcoming team and the barista ministry. Let's pray that God's love would overflow in them, that every single bulletin that they give out or every cup of coffee that they make would translate something greater than the thing itself. And just translate God's love to His people. Pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's lift up Pastor Choi and the church congregation, that they will continue to grow and be unified in Jesus. Pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight, Elements and Conduit. Let's pray that God's presence would really dwell among them as they meet, and that they would find out more and know more about God's properties and God's presence. I just want to thank you today, Lord God, for sending Jesus to dwell among us. Lord God, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that is also here ministering to us. And Father, I just pray that we would seek to glorify you and seek more of your presence no matter what we are doing today. And Lord God, we just want to seek more of your presence and we want more of you, Lord God. So, Lord, I just thank you for this word today. And I just ask for your Holy Spirit to fill us up, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray all these. Amen. So please enjoy your individual time of prayer.